Thanks so much for joining us for the Church by the Glades podcast today. If you'd like more information about our church, including directions and service times, visit cbglades.com. Thanks again for joining us. We hope you enjoy today's message.
Listen, there are teenagers all over this world passionate for things that are selfish and passionate for things that are stupid. We have kids here passionate for the purposes of God. Man, I love this generation at CBG. And I tell them all the time, man, I grew up in church, and when you were a teenager, you were told you were a future leader. You are the future leaders of the, you are the right now leaders of this church. So I love the young guns. Ours, if you're a guest, by the way, my name is David. I'm one of the pastors here at Church by the Glades. And if you look around, this is clearly a multi-generational church. We're not just multiple campuses and multiple races. We're multi-generational. You'll see people of all ages in the house. But hear this. We're a multi-generational church, very committed to reaching the next generation. And so you see lots of people in their teens and 20s making a difference here right now. So students in the band, man, great job, great job. Dance team, worship team. We have had a great week. Serve the City was amazing as we unleashed upon South Florida a small army of volunteers to support other worthy endeavors like, you know, Habitat for Humanity and Lee, I can't think of them all right now. Kids in Distress, I mean, 52 not-for-profits that needed manpower. So you guys went out and you were just providing sweat to make a difference. So good. And then we have, you know, next week, the beach baptism. If you've not taken the God plunge, man, the beach is a great place. We're gonna have burgers and hot dogs and stuff too. It's gonna be a party. By the way, that's not in lieu of this service. This service will happen as normal. So you gotta make a choice next week. Come here at 6:30 or go to the beach at 6 o'clock. It's all good, just don't stay home. Turn to your neighbor and say, don't you dare stay home next Sunday night. Turn to your neighbor and say, don't you stay home. Either be at church or at the baptism. So both options for you next week, both options. And then this past week as well, if Serve the City was not enough, we had Camp United here at this campus. We have the wave that happens for middle schoolers and high schoolers every week at this campus, but Camp United, over 600 campers, middle schoolers, high schoolers, and sponsors. It was electric, it was passionate, it was on fire. And so this weekend, if you're a guest, we give the weekend to the kids. And so the band, the singers, the dancers. And a few months ago, I planned on speaking, but when our young communicators came to me and kind of mentioned it might be nice to have, I don't know, a young communicator this weekend, someone from our student group. That young person making that suggestion was my son. And so I have three kids. My youngest is 9. My oldest you're about to meet. He just turned 18 a little while ago. He just graduated. He's on his way to Palm Beach Atlantic College his next semester, incoming freshman. And he feels very strongly that God has called him to be a pastor. Now look, I'm biased, but being biased does not make you wrong, just makes you biased. And I believe God's hand is on my son, and you're gonna hear from him in just a moment. He spoke at camp, and listen, it's good to hear from what God is doing in the heart of a punk preacher every once in a while. It's good to hear for us people, a little mature. Now listen, when it's a young communicator, the last thing he needs is for you to sit there and stare at him, right? He needs engagement. He needs you to smile, practice smiling, practice smiling. Yeah, come on, practice. Nod your head a little bit, make some noise a little bit, put your hands together once in a while. Oh, thank you, son. That's good, because a good sermon is not a monologue. A good sermon's a dialogue. So just like that, thank you so much. Would you please welcome to the stage, Charlie Hughes. I can't do that.
Wow, I've never felt cooler than jumping on the stage to DNA by Kendrick Lamar. My name is Charlie Hughes. Welcome to Student Takeover Weekend. Like you just heard, we're coming off the heels of our United Camp. Yeah, come on, United Camp was amazing. God showed up in great ways. The theme for this year's camp was Through the Fire. Through the fire. But I'm not gonna lie. When I first heard that this year's camp theme is going to be Through the Fire, I was not very impressed. I thought we could do better. Through the fire? Really? I thought it was a little corny. I thought it was a little cheesy. I thought we can do better. I thought we can come up with better. We're a pretty creative church. I didn't think that was the most creative name we could have came up with through the fire. But it wasn't until I quit focusing on the surface of these three words and really looked beyond to the meaning behind these three words that I really began to realize that there really could not have been a more fitting or appropriate theme for this year's camp than through the fire. Because we are a community. We are a church. We are people who have been through the fire this past year. Especially these past 6 months. Everything we've been through. We've had to overcome some obstacles, face some giants, fight some battles. We have been through the fire. And tonight, I want to spend some time with you all talking about three young men who had to walk through some fires in their own lives. Today, as we continue on in our series, The Enjoyment Deployment, Summer Slam, Grill Jam, Carefree, RV, Fun Explosion. It's a mouthful. It's really a series where we're taking a road trip through the life of Jesus Christ. But I want to take us real far back. Way, way back, all the way back to the Old Testament, because I believe that Jesus Christ, he's God in the New Testament, but he's also God in the Old Testament. He's God in my past, my present, and my future. So I think he's just as real in this text we're about to be in. I want to spend some time with you all in Daniel chapter 3. Before we really get into the meat and potatoes of it all, let me tell you all a little bit about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were three young Israelite men. But they were Israelites in a time where the nation of Israel was enslaved by the nation of Babylon. So what this means is that from the time they were children, they were slaves. That from the time they were children, they were being oppressed. That from the time they were children, they were suffering. But through every obstacle they had to overcome, through every giant they had to face, through every battle they had to fight, through every fire they had to walk through, they remained faithful to God through it all. They never once turned their backs on God. They never once cursed God because of their situation or their circumstance. But they remained worshiping. They remained committed and devoted to God. And because of their faith in the middle of their fire, God began to work in their lives. God began to bless them. He began to place them in positions to be promoted. And God actually took these three young men, these three teenagers, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, from being slaves as children to ranking government officials in the nation of Babylon by the time they were teenagers. But this newfound favor and blessing in their lives did not sit well in some of the hearts of their haters. Anybody have some haters in the room? Some people that just don't like you, that talk bad about you, that want the worst for you. You never do anything to them, but they still don't like you. Come on, don't we all have some haters? Sometimes I hate my own haters. But these haters were so jealous, they were so envious, that they always had their eyes open for an opportunity to cause the downfall and demise of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Now I think we can pick up in Daniel chapter 3, verse 1. King Nebuchadnezzar made an image of gold, 60 cubits high and 6 cubits wide. So King Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, created an image of gold. And to put this in measurements that we would understand, it was 90 feet tall and 9 feet wide of pure, solid gold. That's amazing. That right there is spectacular. Without a doubt, it had to have been beautiful. So at the dedication of this image of gold, King Nebuchadnezzar is set up. He calls all of his royal advisors, all of his ranking government officials into his courts and commands them this. Nations and peoples of every language, this is what you are commanded to do. As soon as you hear the sound of the horn, flute, cither, lyre, harp, pipe, and all kinds of music, You must fall down and worship the image of gold that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up. Whoever does not fall down and worship will immediately be thrown into a blazing furnace. So the command was, whenever you hear any music, any instrument being played, I don't care if it's the banging of a drums, the strumming of a guitar. I don't care what genre it is, what it sounds like. I don't care if it's classical, opera, heavy metal, punk rock, hip hop, R&B, worship, whatever you may prefer. But whenever you hear any music, you better get down on your hands and knees and bow down to this image of gold I have created. Because if you don't, you about to die, brother. You about to die. I'm gonna throw you into a blazing, fiery furnace that is so hot, you will die a painful death. This was a problem for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Because they were committed. They were devoted. They were faithful. They only worshiped the God of Israel. The same God that brought them out of slavery and brought them to where they were. So when the music was played, when the instruments were played, they would not bow. They would not worship. They would not give their commitment and devotion to this image of gold, these false gods. And their haters found out about this. They played right into their haters' hands. Their haters were snitches, aren't they always? And these snitches went and told on them to King Nebuchadnezzar. And when King Nebuchadnezzar heard that they would not worship, he called them in and began to question them. Verse 14, Nebuchadnezzar said to them, "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the image of gold I have set up? Now when you hear the sound of the horn, flute, cither, lyre, harp, pipe, and all kinds of music, if you're ready to fall down and worship the image I made, very good. But if you do not worship it, you will be thrown immediately into a blazing, fiery furnace. Then what God will be able to rescue you from my hands?" And the three young men's response is just insane. It's crazy. This is what they say to him. They say, "King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. It's only their lives on the line. They're only risking everything. But yet they still don't feel like they need to even defend themselves in this matter. Because if we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it. And he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. But even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up." Then Nebuchadnezzar was furious with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And his attitude toward them changed, and not for the better. He ordered the furnace heated 7 times hotter than usual and commanded some of his biggest, strongest soldiers in the army to tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and throw them into the blazing furnace. So these men, wearing their robes, trousers, turbans, and other clothes, all flammable, by the way, were bound and thrown into the blazing furnace. The king's command was so urgent, and the furnace was so hot, that the flames of fire killed the soldiers who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, firmly tied, fell into the blazing furnace. The title of my message is Blazing Boldness. When I was originally preparing for this time and writing this sermon, I was really going to take this conversation from the angle of really focusing on the fire, the flames, and the furnace. Really focusing on the problem that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were facing. But now I find that sort of funny. I find it funny because it's ironic. And it's ironic because it's reflective. It's reflective as to how we think as people. We love to give our attention to and focus on what scares us the most, on our problems. We love to intensify and magnify what seems so unstoppable and impossible in our lives. We love to fear our fears. We love to give our attention to what seems to be consuming and taking over every inch and every area of our lives and our well-being. But the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego is not in the Bible because of how tall the flames were, or because of how hot the fire was, or because of how dangerous the furnace may have been. But the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego is in the Bible because of the boldness that three young men, these three teenagers, displayed. That is why we hear about them. But how? How could they be so bold? How could they be so courageous, so brave? I know they must have been afraid, but they certainly do not present it. Even when King Nebuchadnezzar calls them in to his presence, into his courts, and begins to question them, they still do not step down. They still do not back down, but they remain committed. They remain devoted. They even look him right in the eye and say, "You might just have to kill us. You might just have to throw us into that furnace because we will never worship you, your gods, or the idol you have set up." They don't even know if they're going to survive what lies ahead. They believe that their God is able to rescue them, but they don't know if he's going to do it. How could they be so bold? They're only teenagers. How could they be so brave? I really don't understand. I don't get it. It doesn't make sense. But maybe, just maybe, what if this wasn't the first time they were in a situation like this? What if this wasn't the first time their situation and circumstances caused them to get a little bold? Because like we know, they were slaves as children. Even though God had been blessing them and put them in positions to be promoted to ranking government officials, the process to get there, every step was another step of trust. Every step was another step of faith. Every step was another step of courage. Every step was another step of bravery. Every step was another step of boldness. Every step was another step of God pushing their limits, getting them ready for this exact moment. Even though God was opening doors, they had to have the faith and the boldness and the courage to walk through those doors. But I would even argue that this is not the main reason they were able to be so bold. I would argue the main reason Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were able to be so bold in this moment is because they knew where their identity was from. They knew where their identity was found. Have you ever been called by the wrong name? Isn't that the worst? Terrible? Uncomfortable? My name is Charlie. So there's like 3.21 million YouTube videos that go along with the name Charlie. And I've been called by all of them. Charlie Brown. Charlie the Unicorn. Charlie bit my finger, I've heard them all. I hate it. My friends will call me or refer to me by some of these names. It's the most annoying thing ever. Gets underneath my skin. Or maybe you're meeting someone for the very first time. You introduce yourself, shake their hands, but they mishear you when you pronounce your name. So they call you by the wrong name the whole conversation, the whole evening, the whole night, and you still have it in your stomach to correct them and make them feel so uncomfortable and tell them that they're wrong. So you just, you know, bear through it. I hate being called by the wrong name. It's annoying. Now, don't get mad at me. But we've been calling Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego by the wrong names. Let me explain myself. When Israelite children were taken as Babylonian slaves, their Israelite birth-given names were dropped, and they were replaced with Babylonian names. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's names are not actually Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And I find it very interesting that the very first attack the enemy had on their lives, a time in their lives where they were children, where they probably did not even really understand what type of fires they'd be walking through later on in their lives. The very first attack the enemy still had on them was an attack against and on their identities. The enemy will always go after your identity. And as people, we take a lot of pride in how we identify ourselves. I illustrated it to the students this way at United Camp. Maybe you're someone that is really a stud on the court or on the field. You probably identify yourself as an athlete. Maybe you're someone that really excels in the classroom. You get honor roll every semester. You're at the top of your class. You're going to school on scholarships. You probably identify yourself as a scholar. Maybe you're someone that could sing like an angel, pick up any instrument and know how to play. You probably identify yourself as a musician. Perhaps you can sculpt like Michelangelo, paint like Da Vinci. You probably identify yourself as an artist. Maybe you're that person that everyone knows, holds in high esteem, follows on social media. You probably identify yourself as a popular person. Maybe someone in here, you have a few businesses. You're doing very well in life. You probably identify yourself as a businessman or woman, an entrepreneur. And there's nothing wrong with any of these identities. But I would ask you this. Is how you identify yourself really secure? Is your identity founded in a firm foundation? Planted on a rock that cannot be shaken? Does how you identify yourself 100% secure the bag in your life? Now play with me a little bit. Say you are the athlete. What happens when you're no longer able to play the game that you love? Then how will you identify yourself? You're the student, the scholar. You work as hard as ever, but your grades begin to slip. You begin to fail every class. You lose your scholarships. You lose your class ranking. Then how will you begin to identify yourselves? You're the musician, but your dreams of making it big and playing in front of arenas never come to pass. Then how will you begin to identify yourself? You're the artist, but your whole life you never sell one piece of work. Then how will you begin to identify yourself? You're the businessman or woman, but all your businesses go under. You go bankrupt. Then how will you begin to identify yourself? You're the popular person. People stop looking up to you like they used to. People stop holding you in high esteem. You lose all your Instagram followers, God forbid. Then how will you begin to identify yourself? Because the enemy knows that if he can attack you when it comes to your identity, then he can persuade you away from your purpose. That if he can attack you and cause you to feel confused or distraught when it comes to how you identify yourself, that you will spend so much time trying to fill a void that you cannot fill on your own, that you will never take the time to think, how does God identify me? And God identifies you as his child. God identifies you as fearfully and wonderfully made. God identifies you as made in his image. That means you got loyalty, got royalty inside your DNA. Hustle, though, ambition flow inside your DNA. You got power, purpose, pain, and joy inside your DNA. I'll go Kendrick Lamar on you if I have to get my point across. Because the only identity that is founded in a firm foundation planted on a rock that cannot be shaken. 100% secure as a bag in your life is an identity that is founded in Jesus Christ. It's an identity that is founded in the God you give your commitment and devotion to. It's founded in the God that you worship. This is where Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego found their identities. This is where that type of boldness comes from. This type of courage comes from. This type of confidence, this type of self-worth comes from. Meshach's Israelite birth-given name was Mishael. Shadrach's Israelite birth-given name was Hananiah. Abednego's Israelite birth-given name was Azariah. Which sort of like how I was viewing our camp theme. These three names, these three words may not seem like much to you. But I promise you the meaning to these words, behind these words, is something significant there. Mishael means who is what God is. Hananiah means the Lord is gracious. And Azariah means the Lord is my help. But listen, because they knew their names, because they knew their identities, because they knew where their purposes came from, this means that every attack the enemy had on their lives, every obstacle the enemy put in their path, every giant they had to face, every fire they had to walk through, every battle they had to fight was not able to land the way the enemy intended it to. Because while the enemy was trying to make them identify themselves by their circumstances and their situations, trying to make them think all you are is just a slave, that is all you will ever be, that is all you ever good for. And while people in the world were calling them by one set of names, they're always identifying themselves by another. They knew their names. They knew their purposes. They knew their identities. So devil, Satan, enemy, you can call me what you want. It will have no effect on me. You can call me weak. You can call me small because my name is Mishael, which means who is what God is. And this tells me that I am more than enough to accomplish anything that is put in my path, overcome any obstacle, find victory in any battle. So enemy, devil, Satan, you can call me what you want. You can call me too far gone, too messed up, too jacked up, because my name is Hananiah, which means that the Lord is gracious. And this lets me know that there's nothing I can do that is so bad that'll separate me from the love of my God. They'll take my God's hand of grace off my life. They'll separate me from the purpose that my God has for me. So devil, Satan, enemy, throw at me what you want. Call me what you want. Because you know what? I know my name. You can call me useless. You can call me unqualified. You can call me not good enough. Because my name is Azariah, which means the Lord is my help. And if God is on my side, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. What weapon can prosper against me? If God is for me, who can be against me? I know my name. I know my purpose. I got confidence in that. I can be bold when I know my identity. Come on. They knew their names. If I could just put this thought in your minds. This is something that has been on my heart recently. Really, the past few months. Why would the enemy attack something that he is not afraid of? Come on. The enemy attacks us because he's afraid of us. And after every attack we've endured in the past year, in these past 6 months, as a community and as individuals, Satan must be terrified of us. Just think about this. A little less than a year ago, we had Hurricane Irma, a Category 4 hurricane, hit our communities, caused millions of dollars in damage, and now it seems so obsolete. Now it's one of the least of our worries because we've been through the fire. We've been under attack. This campus in particular is still in the wake of what happened to Marjory Stoneman Douglas, where we lost some of our own. That was an attack against the students of this community. I believe attack after attack after attack after attack after attack after attack after attack confirms this. I do not believe this is some coincidence. The enemy sees a potential in this room, a potential in this church, a potential in these students, a potential in the adults in this room that is so great. And he knows that if we would grab hold of our identities, if we would grab hold of what our names truly are, if we would grab hold of the purposes that God has for us, it's something he cannot stop. It's something he can't get in the way of. It's something so great. That's why his attacks have been so great. But I think the enemy has had his day in my life. I think the enemy has had his day in my community. I think the enemy has had his day in my relationships. I think the enemy has had his day in my household, in my schools, in my workplace. I think the enemy has had his day. I think it's time we start getting a little bold with the enemy. So I think it's time we start fighting fire with fire. The enemy's been trying to kill my devotion recently, been trying to kill my commitment, been trying to kill my prayer life. So I think I'm gonna start praying with more intentionality, with more purpose, with more passion than ever before, asking God to step into my situation, asking God to step into my circumstance. Until I see it move, I will not stop praying. The devil's been trying to kill my worship recently, but I will start praising louder and harder than I ever have before. The enemy's been trying to shut me up recently, but I will not back down. I will not step down. I will not be quiet. I will not shut up. I will keep telling all my friends about Jesus. So I see every single person I know come and take a knee and bow down to the one true living God. So I see every single one of these seats full. Hallelujah. We gotta let the enemy know that every attack he has meant for bad, every attack he has meant for wrongdoing, every attack he's meant to hurt us, every attack he's meant to cause pain, every attack he's meant to be a setback in our lives, God's going to rework to be a set up for him to do greater things in and through this church, in and through us, than he's ever done ever before, that he would exceed every expectation in this room. That we would be known by not what we've been through, but where we're going. And I'm gonna be done in the next minute or so. But I left you all hanging. What happened to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Let's read verse 24. Then King Nebuchadnezzar leaped to his feet in amazement and asked his advisors, hold up, wait a minute. I thought there were three of them. Weren't there three men that we tied up and threw into that fire? They replied, certainly, your majesty. He said, look, I don't see one, I don't see two, I don't see three men in that fire tied up, but I see four. I see four. Somebody say, I see four. I see four men in that fire, unbound and unharmed, and the fourth looks like a son of the gods. Guess what? That was a son of God. Nebuchadnezzar then approached the opening of the blazing furnace and shouted, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out and come here. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of that fire, came out of that furnace, came out of those flames, and the satraps, precepts, governors, woe, and advised crowd around them, all the haters had to witness it. They saw that the fire not harmed their bodies, nor was a hair of their head singed, their robes were not scorched, and there was no smell of fire on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar said, praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel, who has sent his son, rescued his servants. They trusted in him, defied the king's command, and they were willing to give up their own lives rather than serve or worship any god except their own God. The whole point of this message, the whole point of the scripture right now. It's to let somebody know. It's to let all of you know that your boldness breaks through your barriers. That your boldness breaks through your bondage. That if you decide to get bold, it beats any battle that you're dealing with. Because the same God that was walking through the fire with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego is the same God that wants to walk with you through yours. Because when Jesus Christ is on your side, when Jesus Christ has got your back, no fire can touch you, no flames can burn you, no smoke can be smelled on you. I don't know what you came in here with, what problems you may have, but you came with a purpose, a passion, and a promise that is greater than any problem. I don't know what guilt you might have, but you came with a grace that is greater than any guilt. I don't know what shame you might have in your life right now, but you came with a Savior that is greater than any shame, what insecurities you might have. You came with an identity that is greater than any insecurity. God wants to meet you where you are in this moment. He wants to meet you in the middle of your mess, in the middle of your circumstances. He wants to walk with you through your fires. He's not done with you yet. If you got a pulse, you got a purpose. He wants to rework everything you've been through this past year to glorify Him. I don't care how young or how old you are. God used King Josiah, who is 8 years old, but He also used Moses, who is 80. God's not done with you yet. God's not done with you yet. You're not in your fire alone. Jesus is there with you. My God is still on the throne. He's still the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the name above all names. He is still God. And as long as He is still God, I can still be bold. I can still be brave. I can still be courageous. I can still be confident. I can still know where my worth comes from. It's time for us to get bold. Us getting bold is bigger than ourselves. We live in a messed up, jacked up world. Our world needs Jesus. Our world needs us. Our world needs our boldness. It's time for you to get bold. Your breakthrough depends on it. Yeah. Father, in this moment we pray that You would meet us where we are. That You would meet us in the middle of what we're going through. That You would meet us in the middle of our mess. God, that You would show up and do what only You can do. That You would ignite this generation. That, Lord, You would set a fire within us. The whole world is on fire, Lord, for things that don't even matter. So let us be more on fire. Let us be bold, just bold enough to be open. God, so that You can do what only You can do. Change lives, Lord. Cause healing. Perform miracles. We're gonna get bold, so it's gonna happen. We pray this in the name of Your mighty Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's message at Church by the Glades. Stay connected with us by following us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at CB Glades and at Pastor D. Hughes.